Your life, God's truth, your QFM. It is Phil here at our studio in Bemidji, Minnesota. And on the line is a very good friend, someone that I respect so much, Pastor Shane Eidelman from Lancaster, California. He's the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship. We've gotten to know Shane so very well as we've connected over the radio network, the WCF radio network, teaming up with you, Shane, to get that beautiful network on the air and worship the Lord in your area as well. And Shane, so good to talk to you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Phil. It's so great to be here. I just wish we could talk about more positive topics now and then.
Well,
it seems like the culture is just in overdrive,
yeah.
You know, against God's word.
Well, and what I love, though, too, is that you are willing to take a stand and address these issues, Shane, as a pastor. And, of course, we need all sorts of people to address, but we definitely need pastors to address it, not only from the pulpit, but willing to write articles and share them and do podcasts and all of that, because there's a lot of us that really struggle with how do we respond as this some of these issues just continue to grow and come at us. Like a wide-open fire hose in our culture. So thank you for doing that. And you wrote an article today entitled Bowing to the LGBTQ Agenda, Tolerance Only Validates Sin. And, you know, the thing that, and I've said this before about you, Shane, what I love is your boldness when it comes to truth, but you have that balance of speaking out in love. And in fact, it's the love that you have in your heart that really helps you say truth and are bold enough to say the truth because you love people. That's really kind of the bottom line, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. And it's an interesting combination because as much as I pray, you know, Lord, give me boldness, I also pray, Lord, give me love.
Yeah.
And God had to break me. I mean, he had to break me and humble me. And then I think that's important for those called to the ministry because then you don't look down on others. You look at them and you give them the word of God with love. And that's really where God's word is the most powerful. It's when it's underscored and undergirded with love. But, yeah. You know, the other side is if it's all love, so, I mean, this really isn't love, but it's defined as love, they don't share the hard truths of God's word. And then if it's just a Bible-thumping, angry person that's yelling it at people, that doesn't accomplish anything. Just a quick example, when I gave a debate at the college against an atheist, we had a group of LGBT out on the sidewalk. And we reached out to them, brought them water, and, you know, just showed them. And then you had another guy coming who was holding his Bible up high, literally yelling at them. Hmm. And I am like, okay, do you see any conversions this way? I don't think so.
No.
You know? So that's why the church is, and believe it or not, this is pretty sad. In my area, you know, in California, it's coming down heavy. The teachers are going to have to start pushing this agenda or lose their job.
Yeah.
But I've been hearing, too, that a lot of Christian, so-called Christian mom and dads, when their kids come out as lesbian or gay or bisexual or transgender or they're struggling with this, instead of parents loving them and pointing them to the truth, they're actually... they become upset at their kids and judgmental and throw scriptures at them and begin to hate them. And that's causing kids to actually withdraw from the message of the gospel instead of embracing it.
It is a fine balance. It really is.
It sure is.
And it's only as we press into the Lord and empowered by His Spirit that we can handle these situations. And they're just coming at us big time. Your article that you wrote today or yesterday starts out just giving some examples. We won't go through them in detail, but, you know, school administrators getting in trouble for questioning things like Pride Month. How about a 27-year-old or a doctor, I'm sorry, that was serving in the medical profession in England for 27 years, and he refused to call someone by a different pronoun, you know, because it was against their biological sex, and he gets fired after, you know, being a doctor for 27 years, on and on. How about this case of the 7-year-old boy where the mom, who was a doctor, wanted to proceed with the little boy making a transition in gender, and the dad, they're divorced, and the dad was just dead set against it, and the mother was just going to go ahead. And finally, a Texas judge said she could not, that it had to be consent by both mom and dad. You know, you say in your article, it's like we're in the twilight zone. And, you know, some might say, well, you know, these are just rare occasions and it doesn't really affect me. Shane, that's not really the case anymore. It's very widespread now.
Well, it is, because what's happened is we've become a politically correct culture.
That's right.
And even the pulpits, you don't know the frustration I feel when I talk to pastors and hear pastors. And, you know, some of these guys have 200, 300, 400,000 views on their YouTube sermons. I'm not going to list names. You know, it's usually the top 10, you know, guys. They say, man, we can't talk about those things. It'll push people away. So you just talk about the wonderful things in Scripture, but the Bible, the power of the gospel, the power of Scripture is found in all of it. So you talk about the truth and love, and you talk. Can you imagine these mega church pastors? You know, and I'm not against mega churches. We're the course that God has us on. We could definitely be one of those. God grows a healthy church.
Yes.
But when you're worried about the opinions of men and not what God's Word says, you know, you're really not going to help people at a deep level. And I love what Leonard Ravenhill said, I think decades ago, that we need more prophets in our pulpits and less puppets. And that's the frustration of the pulpits with love would be saying the same thing. Hey, listen, this is sin. We can't allow this. This is ridiculous. School districts, you don't need to cave in. You don't. I mean, I if you look, I think they're getting ready in some schools to remove locker rooms and just make them gender neutral.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, we have literally lost our mind.
Yes.
And of course, I don't. A week doesn't go by where I don't hear people. Oh, you guys in California. Oh, well, you know what? As California goes, so goes the nation. So we all need to wake up. Number two is there's powerful churches in California. I mean, you can list from Jim Garlow down there in San Diego, Jack Hibbs, both of these men, friends of mine. He's in Chino Hills. You've got John MacArthur about an hour from me. You've got, you know, I can just sit here and keep naming churches of men who are standing up for the Word of God. So I don't want to give people the impression, but As a whole, Barna did research, and it's somewhere like 5% of the pulpits in America are actually balancing grace and holiness, mercy and righteousness. They're just avoiding difficult topics. And
yeah.
I've actually found the opposite. Once I begin to preach on the totality of God's truth, as long as I'm broken before Him, filled with the Spirit of God, tears are flowing, I'm ready for the boldness of God, the passion, compassion of God, our church grows. The God gets the radio messages out there. As you know, you were the one who encouraged me to go on to radio on a national platform, and it's exploded.
Well,
you know, so
people
are hungry for this.
Yes, I was just going to say that. People are hungry for, you know, leadership to be bold, you know, on the truth of God. It is so incredibly important. You're talking about California and how it sets the stage on these issues and others. Just yesterday, the Minnesota Family Council sent out a urgent request for people to comment. The University of Minnesota right now is about to enact a policy that would punish students if they don't use the correct pronouns when they're interacting with transitioning students or students who have already transitioned. You know, it's just everywhere. And Breakpoint today, and I know Breakpoint is on your radio network out there as well, Shane, I don't know if you caught this yet today. It is a powerful four-minute program today. I encourage people to check it out. And John Stonestreet is saying that the topic that we're talking about, it reminds him of Luke chapter 11. And that's where Jesus asks, if your child asked for a fish, would you give them a snake? Or if they asked for an egg, would you hand them a scorpion? And the reason he's saying that is there was a person in England that had transitioned to a different gender and then deeply regretted it a few years later and wrote an article about that. And literally hundreds of others in that part of that country came out and said, we are there with you. We deeply regret doing this in a transgender situation. But what happened was, when they were struggling with, you know, confusion in their life, they had eating disorders, they had other addictions and so forth, and then they felt that if they transitioned to a different sex, that might be the answer, so they went to a doctor. Well, the doctors, instead of, you know, talking to these people, these young people, about getting proper counseling and dealing with some of these other issues, they just said to them, okay, well, here's your hormones, here's your surgery, and off you go. And as John says, or to borrow Jesus' words, here's your scorpion, here's your snake. And that's that's what's happening, Shane. Isn't that interesting? I really see that, you know, where colleges and the medical profession, they see dollar signs, and they don't know anything about the Lord. They're not, their lives aren't based in truth. So we're not helping people, even as they cry out for help, as little as 7 years old, for goodness sakes.
That is, it just makes me sad, because you're right. And what a time in our history where we need to be looking to God's Word, because schools, major universities in California are actually compromising on this issue because they don't want to lose state funding.
Yes.
You've got doctors giving this advice. I mean, do you know how much a doctor makes off a sex change surgery? It's astronomical.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And so you want to be careful going to advice for people who profit. I even tell people, you know, if they've been diagnosed with cancer, be careful. An oncologist or doctor, they're going to run to chemotherapy and not to healthy alternatives. So it's just wherever we look, people are wanting to profit off what's going on. But you hit the nail on the head too. You're in a culture that is desensitized, that's actually rejecting God's word. I believe it's part of a great falling away. You know, this is going to be a dividing line for sure. And did you read recently too? I think it was just in the last couple of days, a new poll showing that the majority of millennials favor rewriting the First Amendment.
I did see that.
Include hate speech.
Yeah. Yeah, we're on a very dangerous path, that is for sure. And you know what, Shane, you've said this before too, and I know in this year to come before this next election, I am really praying that there will be bold brothers and sisters in Christ that will say, you know what, I'm going to run for school board. I'm going to run for, you know, boards on college campuses. I'm going to run for city councils, because we need to take leadership positions and then have our decision-making grounded in biblical truth. You just said a few minutes ago, challenging, and in your article, you say school districts, don't let these politically correct people and police intimidate you. Well, they will, unless there's people of faith on those boards, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And this is a big lie of the enemy, I think. And by the way, if people want to find that article, it's on ShaneEidelman.com.
Yes.
Right on the homepage. But I'm actually putting that paper, if you can believe this, in Los Angeles County newspapers and Kern County newspapers. We're going to reach 150,000 to 200,000 readers this weekend with that article, because teachers are asking me, principals are asking me, we got to say something. What's going on? But of course, you know, when your job's on the line and you're the lone voice. And so that was really the reason, you know, that I wrote that. But to answer your question, see, the big, I don't know when it came into really being separation of church and state, this big lie that, you know, we just need to remain free of political entanglement. But there's no problem with making Christian movies. There's no problem with having Christian media or Christian services to our community. But I guess when it comes to this issue of politics, many Christians feel the church shouldn't need to be involved.
Yeah.
But we have to remember that God instituted the family, He instituted the church, and He instituted the government.
Amen.
So are we truly suggesting, all Christians should answer this question, that God is not concerned about the political arena, that God is not concerned about people making a difference in the school boards, in governmental offices? I mean, not only can I not find that in Scripture, that goes against the heart of God. But I believe it's a lie of the deception. Jehovah's Witnesses were just in my door. I spent 2 hours with them, and they are clearly taught you cannot get involved in politics because it's a evil system.
Hmm.
And I think the enemy works in that. It just, you know, Christians, that's bad. We shouldn't be in there. Well, salt and light, to me, involves all areas. Now, obviously, a Christian cannot be involved in the porn industry. I mean, there's some boundaries there. But can you imagine godly mayors? Can you imagine godly governors in our state, or godly people in the school district who are actually praying for our children, allowing Amen. The church to go in and minister to kids? So I think you're absolutely right. I know that was a long-winded answer, but the bottom line is, yes, if God is quickening something in your spirit to run, I mean, I've prayed about it often, but mm-hmm. I think he's got me right where he needs me as far as, you know, the voice out there crying in the wilderness.
Yeah, same for me. And, you know, I did run for state rep about 18 years ago, and I don't know, he just still, every once in a while, that comes back. But I also feel that he has me where I should be as well, in radio and trying to shine the light as best we can through radio waves and other places. But the church clearly has to be involved. And you know what? Obviously, the church needs to be accepting and loving, but your article does go on to clearly describe, too, how to handle that. You're preaching in 1 Corinthians, you know, on Sunday mornings, where Paul deals with this sort of thing as well, that balancing truth with love and mercy, wow, it's essential. It is absolutely essential.
Well, right, because think about this. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, contentment, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, self-control. So, to me, we don't have enough Spirit-filled believers, Spirit-filled pastors, who actually, are they broken before God? Are they getting up early or late, if you're a layperson, or seeking the heart of God and being humble before Him, and then allowing that filling of the Holy Spirit, that love, joy, peace, contentment, to season our words with grace, and then you come out like an Elisha, you come out like a Jeremiah, like an Isaiah, and you preach the word of God with power and boldness, but you're broken and you're humble. That's the secret, Phil.
Yeah.
That's what we are missing in the pulpit and in the pew.
Amen. Amen. We have to challenge. I like your words here. We have to challenge, contend, exhort, reprove, and admonish. The world is going to hate that, though, Shane, isn't it? I mean, no matter how gently we do it, for example, in California, that recent legislation out there that you guys are, you know, pretty, you're watching it closely. They haven't exactly made it illegal for you yet to preach against sexual sin and so forth, but it's awfully close. So even if you gently do it, the world is going to hate it, isn't it?
Absolutely. And here's the thing that I always try to remember. It's okay to hate the truth. I mean, they should be offended by the truth, but not by me.
Yeah.
In other words, my attitude, my arrogance, my in their face shouldn't offend them. My gentleness and love, and, you know, they say, I don't like what that guy says, but I like him.
Yeah.
But then you will have a big movement that just, like, well, I mean, I think a lot of pastors think Jesus said, you know, the world's going to love you just like it loved me. And they forget to, the scripture doesn't say that.
That's right.
The world's going to hate you just like it hated me. Why does the world hate Jesus? Because he was standing up for truth.
Yeah.
And I think in that article that you mentioned about the LGBT tolerance, and really what this is, this I could sum it up in one sentence. It is not about tolerance. It's bowing down to the idol of LGBT and sexual promiscuity and perversion. They don't want tolerance. They want to bow down to that and accept it and change the entire culture.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's the goal.
But in my area, if people are interested, I just have a personal YouTube page. I did a quick YouTube video to our representative, Katie Hill, who is a known bisexual and represents us and pushing the LGBT community. And there's a lot recently that came out about her life and just affairs and different things. You know, that's my point is,
mm-hmm.
I put out a video that's probably going to get to her and get to her office. And people can see that embedded in the article that we reach out. We can stand up. I can stand for the sanctity of marriage. I might go to prison because of this. I prepared my kids. I prepared my family where this is going. But I can go there in love, and I can speak the truth in love and still hold to that line, but also tell people, hey, you can be set free. You might still That's struggle right. with sin, but I can point you to the cross. I can point you to a Savior who has the answer. And you reach out yeah. to them in love, but you don't compromise the truth.
I watched that video, Shane, and I didn't realize that Congresswoman Hill was your congresswoman until I saw that video. It was very interesting because that was headline news, for example, on Fox yesterday, and when all of that stuff broke. You know, her life is about to change drastically, and quite likely may lose her seat in Congress. I guess I don't know that for sure. And I loved how, you know, you were saying, yes, it's sin, but we reach out to her in love. And you even personally said, Ms. Hill, if you need people to love on you, we are here for you. And that is what we must do. We still stand against sin, but we do it gently and with integrity. And you did that in that video. So, again.
You want me to tell you a funny, not really funny, but sad story about this? Is I would say 30% of those responding to it who call themselves Christians are belittling me for doing that.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
You should, they're calling you Pastor Shame.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Because what we got to stand for the truth. We got to give them the word of God. They got to step down from office. Yeah, no kidding.
Which you did do. Yeah.
Exactly. So not only do I have carnal Christians upset at me, I've got Pharisee Christians upset at me. Anytime you stand for the truth, you will upset carnal Christians. Mm-hmm. Anytime you stand for the truth with love, you're going to upset the Pharisees. And I've noticed that over the years. It's very interesting.
That is interesting. Wow. Well, Shane Eidelman with me on the phone. It's always a treat to visit with you. And, of course, you hear him on this radio station with the Timeless Truth 2-Minute Feature several times a day. And I know that's been picked up by numerous radio stations around the country. You also have a half-hour program called Regaining Lost Ground, which is basically long sections of your Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services. And people can check you out. You can live stream your services or catch past sermons on the church's website, westsidechristianfellowship.org. And you know what? I want to put in a plug for the radio network too, Shane, the WCF radio network. You know, it's mostly, if not all, worship music, which is awesome. And, you know, from contemporary worship groups and worship artists as well. And then lots of wonderful teaching throughout the day and on the weekends as well. It's a great radio station, several stations altogether. You can download a app for your phone and just enjoy worship music wherever you are. Just look for the WCF Radio Network in your app store, and it's absolutely free. It's all good, Shane, and so good to catch up with you, and God bless you as you continue the fight. I know you're motivating a lot of other pastors around
Praise
the country,
God, yes.
aren't you?
Yes. I'm hearing from a lot of younger pastors, a lot of seasoned pastors
Amen.
Who are being empowered and motivated. So I don't know, maybe God has me kind of doing that, you know, motivating the troops.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank you as well. You know, a lot of people don't know that you helped put this whole thing together. And Regaining Lost Ground, you told me to put it out nationally. As soon as I did that, now it's on, what, 40 stations?
Yeah, amen.
I think. And you encouraged me to do those 2-minute timeless truths, I think, on 70 different radio stations across America. And it's like amazing that God used you to just speak that into our lives. So thank you as well.
Well, we hope it just keeps growing. I know your church is growing. I've had the privilege of being at your church a couple of times, my wife and I, and it's awesome. And I hear you've been up with the baby every once in a while now. Way to go.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's what a blessing they are, but they are difficult, you know. Anything worth life and having is difficult. And on that note, I want to encourage people, if they can, like, go to the website you mentioned. I just gave a message Wednesday on prayer, and the title is Travail Before You Prevail.
Yeah.
And I think we miss that. We miss that prayer and spiritual battle is difficult. It's often difficult. It's darkest before the dawn. So yeah. We just want to encourage believers in that area as well.
All right. Well, God bless you, Pastor Shane, and thank you. We'll catch up again soon, okay?
All right. Thanks, Phil. Have a good one.
You bet. And this is Your Life, God's Truth, Your QFM.